رب العالمين ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذريته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We'd like to begin this special dars that was requested by the Imam here, Abu Hafs. Abu Muawiyah Qasim Abdullah Habibullah, talking about any subject that he asked me to choose. And since today was the khutbah on the subject of trials and tribulations and punishment, and those things that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us about, we decided to take it one step further and talk about, inshallah ta'ala, how to comport ourselves and how to behave in times of al-fitna. But before we begin, I think it's important to mention or to discuss what is the meaning of al-fitna. And the word al-fitna, it has a few meanings. In fact, it has a variety of meanings. And we don't want to go into detail of the linguistic meaning of al-fitna, but we'll give some shades of the meaning so that we'll be able to understand, inshallah. One of the meanings of al-fitna, and for anyone who wants to write this down, it's always good to write, because we shouldn't depend on tapes. We should depend on our minds. Writing with a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, as our Salaf used to do. They used to write and or memorize. So if anybody can memorize what we're going to say, then you don't need to write and you don't need to get the tape. The first definition of al-fitna is al-azab. Al-azab. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, chapter 51, verse 14, ذوقوا فتنتكم هذا الذي كنتم به تستعجلون. ذوقوا فتنتكم هذا الذي كنتم به تستعجلون. Taste your fitna. ذوقوا, taste your fitna. This is what you used to ask to be hastened. This is what you in the dunya used to ask to be hastened, to be delayed, to be brought to you quicker. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word fitna here, addressing the people who are hitting the hellfire, being punished. The word fitna here, ذوقوا فتنتكم, means ذوقوا عذابكم. Taste your عذاب. So the word fitna here in Surah 51, Surah Al-Zariyat, verse 14, means azab, punishment. The word fitna here means punishment. So one of the meanings of fitna is al-azab. One of the other meanings of fitna is ما يقع في سببه العذاب. أي ما يكون سببا لحصول العذاب. That which occurs because of the azab. The thing that occurs because of the punishment is also called fitna. Firstly, fitna has a definition of al-azab, punishment. The second definition of fitna is the thing that occurs after the azab comes, because of the azab. The thing that occurs because of the punishment is also called a fitna.
And to that, and if possible, we have an English translation of the Quran. Is it possible somebody can get one quickly? Because we don't, we try not to, yes, you have one?
جزاكم الله خيرا.
In chapter 9,
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
In chapter 9, which is Surah Al-Bara' or Surah chapter Tawbah, has another name of it, verse 49. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ إِذَنْ لِي وَلَا تَفْتَنِي وَلَا تَفْتَنِي أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا. And among them is he who says, grant me leave, give me permission to be exempted from jihad, is the meaning of it. And وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي, and don't make me have a fitna. أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا, don't put me to trial. Surely they have fallen into fitna, meaning surely they have fallen into that which is the result of the punishment. The result of the punishment. The punishment came, and that which was the end result of what they acquired is called fitna after the punishment. So this is another meaning that we have for al-fitna. Another meaning for al-fitna, another meaning for al-fitna is al-ikhtibar wa tamhis, which means basically a test or a trial. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يرحمكم الله وقتلت نفسا فنجيناك من الغم وفتناك فتونا وفتناك فتناك فتونا. Then you did kill a man, but we saved you from great distress and a heavy trial. Great distress and a heavy trial. And I don't remember exactly where this verse is, but we can find it inshallah before we finish. So this is the third meaning. Meaning a trial or a test. A trial or a test is another meaning for fitna. Another meaning for al-fitna is ma yusibu al-insana fi dunya min shidda. Min shidda. That which befalls the human being in the dunya because of some shiddah or mashaqqa or some type of difficulty. كالمرض أو الفقر وغيره. Like some disease or some extreme poverty or anything like that. Or it could be الرخاء ما تحبه كالمال والولد والصحة. It could also mean prosperity. A fitna can be from prosperity. A fitna can come from anything that the human being loves. Like money, like children, like good health. All those things can be a fitna. Your wives can be a fitna. Your children can be a fitna. Your husband can be a fitna. Your car can be a fitna. Your thawb can be a fitna. Your overgarment can be a fitna. Your iman can be a fitna. The people who are under the iman, anything that you love, or anything like a disease or poverty, person doesn't have any money, they haven't gotten paid for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks goes by, they didn't get their paycheck, their company went bankrupt, that can become a fitna. Allah plagues you with some type of disease, some type of ailment, that can be a fitna. So anything in the dunya that befalls a human being because of some difficulty or something that he or she loves can be considered a fitna. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِشَرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And we'll give you the number of these verses inshallah. We're not absolutely sure where they are. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And we will try you with evil. We will give you, we will try you and test you with evil and good as a fitna. Evil and good as a fitna. And to us you will return. And to us you will return. Another meaning of fitna, and that should be meaning number 5. Another meaning of fitna, and this is min a'zam al-fitna, from some of the greatest types of fitna, is as-saddu min sabilillah, is preventing someone from entering into Islam. Yarhamakumullah. Taking a person away from the path of Islam. Preventing someone from taking shahada or from coming to the sunnah if they're already in Islam. Coming to the sunnah. Preventing someone from coming to the truth or preventing someone from accepting Islam. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ. And fight them until there is no more fitna, and so that the deen will be for only Allah. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 193, chapter 2, verse 193. وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً وَيَكُونُ الدِّينَ لِلَّهِ. And fight them until there is no more fitna. Fitna here means keeping the people from accepting Islam. That's what the word fitna here means. Blocking someone from entering into Islam. And here, fitna is worse than killing somebody. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. And fitna is worse than slaughter. Fitna is worse than slaughter, meaning the fitna that keeps somebody from coming into Islam. It's better that you kill somebody, slaughter people, wipe them out, than to prevent somebody from getting life, which is Islam itself. Okay. That is, or those are some of the meanings for fitna. Some of the meanings. The first type of fitna, and there are basically two types. Those were some of the meanings of the word fitna. Now we're going to talk about the types of fitna. And there are basically only two types of fitna according to the ulama of Ahl al-Sunnah. There are two types of fitna. The first type of fitna is from Allah. Al-Qahhar, Al-Jabbar, Al-Aziz, Al-Mateen, Al-Qawi. That is from Allah. That's the first type of fitna. The fitna is from Allah, which is sickness, poverty, loss of property, those types of things. Things that are not from the human being. In that type of fitna, that's the type of fitna which is only from Allah, that comes to the human being, not from his own hands, but it comes from Allah for the purpose of purification of sins. For the purpose of purification of sins. Because fitna, as we mentioned, is of two types. And that fitna either comes from Allah or comes from yourselves. As we mentioned today in the khutbah. As we mentioned today in the khutbah, those things that happen to the human being, those trials, those fitnas, that comes from us. Those diseases, those sexually transmitted diseases, the drought, the famine, all those things come from us because of our sins. That's the second type of fitna. The first type of fitna is from Allah. And it's used as a purification. It's used as a purification. And to that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَا يَبْرَحُ الْبَلَاءُ بِالْعَبْدِ حَتَّى يَتْرُكَهُ يَمْشِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ وَمَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ خَطِيئَةٍ. And this hadith is in Ibn Majah with an authentic chain, alhamdulillah. That when the person is tried by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's going to be tried by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with some type of disease or some type of poverty
or loss of property or something like that. And this is to test him, this is to purify him. So much so that the Prophet said, فَمَا يَبْرَحُ الْبَلَاءُ بِالْعَبْدِ. So much so that the slave, he's tried. بَاللَّهُ حَتَّى يَتْرُكَهُ يَمْشِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, until he's left walking on the earth, وَمَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ خَطِيئَةٍ, until he's sinless. Allah keeps trying him with poverty, he keeps trying him with loss of property, he keeps trying him with disease, he keeps trying him with loss of crops, with loss of lives and his family or whatever, until he becomes purified. Why? It's because probably he didn't make tawbah good enough. His tawbah wasn't complete. Or he didn't make it at all. He didn't fulfill the conditions of the tawbah. Because there's conditions for tawbah, of course. Or he might or she might not have made tawbah at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his infinite mercy, knowing that you would be punished in this life and or the next, those who don't make tawbah, Allah still gives you a chance by afflicting you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, and we will try him with something. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ, with something, not totally, just a little piece, a little bit, something of khawf, of fear. وَالْجُوعِ, and hunger. وَالنَّقْصِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, and some type of diminution, some type of loss of property. وَالْأَنْفُسِ, and lives, وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, and loss of crops or your vegetation or some type of goods that you have. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, but give glad tidings to those who are patient. Patient with what? Patient with the trial that Allah is making you go through so you become purified. Those who, when a musibah befalls them, some calamity, they say, we belong to Allah and to Allah we will return. They are the ones that are going to get three things. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. They're going to get salat from Allah. They're going to get rahmah from Allah. And those are the ones who will have huda. They're guided. They get salah from Allah. And salah from Allah means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising you. He's praising you for your patience. And they're going to get rahmah. They're going to get rahmatun wasi'ah, wide, expansive mercy. And they are the ones who are guided, meaning they're going to have a huda. Three things for being patient with the trial of Allah. You waited 18 years, you've never been pregnant. 18 years you and your husband been waiting to have a baby. Then finally you get the baby. Finally Allah blesses you with a child. The baby looks just like you. Looks like you, smiles like you, everything. 1 year, 2 years goes by, you're driving in your car, have an accident, the airbag doesn't work, boom, the baby is killed. Allah tries you, he's testing you, and he does this to purify you, because tests are from only one of two reasons. Either the test is to purify you of your sins, so you walk on the earth sinless. You keep having the trials and having the trials and having the trials and having the trials from Allah until eventually you're sinless. Sinless meaning he's wiped all the sins that you committed. Not that you're sinless, but he's wiped away all of your sins that you committed. Whatever you've done, Allah knows what you've done, and he uses that disease, he uses that leukemia, he uses that loss of property, he uses that loss of the baby to purify you of your sins. The second reason why Allah does this is to raise you in status, to raise you in rank. And usually this is for the prophets. When the prophets are tested by Allah, it's not because of the first reason, purification of sins. We must understand that. When a prophet is tried by Allah, it's not because of sins. When you are tried by Allah, it could be one of two reasons. When Allah tries a prophet, it's for one reason and one reason only. When you are tried by Allah, you are tried for either A, purification of the sins, to clean you,
It's like a hospital. You have to go through the hospital of tests and trials, and then you come out purified. And the other reason is to raise you in status and rank, and that's for the prophets of Allah. Or it could be for us, and Allahu A'lam. In this particular fitna that Allah gives us, it's a mercy. It's mercy from Allah. It's wisdom from Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested us. And that's why, as far as the prophets are concerned, when the prophet was asked, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَشَدُّ الْبَلَاءَ أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَشَدُّ بَلَاءً, which of the people, the human beings, are most severe in trials and tests? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he said, الْأَنْبِيَاءَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ يبتلى العبد على حسب دينه فإن كان في دينه صلبا اشتد بلاؤه وإن كان في دينه رقة أبتلي على حسب دينه أبتلي على حسب دينه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, أو كما قاله, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, which of the human beings are tried the most severest? The Prophet said, the Anbiya. The Prophet, ثم الأمثل فالأمثل, then those who are like them, and then those who are like them. Those who are similar to them, and those who are similar to them after them. And of course we know that the Prophets are the best of human beings, and those who are the best of human beings after the messengers of Allah are the Sahaba, radwanullahi alayhim. There are no human beings better than the people who came with the Prophet in his time, who accepted Islam, died after meeting the Prophet on Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And anybody who doesn't love the Sahaba more than they love themselves, you're not from the people of the Sunnah. And anybody who curses the Sahaba, you are the enemies of Allah, the enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the enemy of Jibreel, the enemy of Mikael, the enemy of Israfil, the enemy of Malakul Maut, the enemy of Munkar Nakir, the enemy of Aqid and Araqib. You're the enemy of all those who believe in Allah in the last day. Whoever curses the Sahaba and doesn't love them. So the people who are most tried after the prophets are the companions, because they're most like the prophets. There's no one better than the prophets. After the companions, there's no one better. And then, فالأمثل, the ones who come after them are the تابعون. The تابعون. And those who come after them are the صالحون. Like the Imams, Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam al-Shafi, Imam Ahmed, and all those who follow their way all the way up to now. But the most severe in test and tribulation and trial are the prophets of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يُبْتَلَى الْعَبْدُ عَلَى حَسَبِ دِينِهِ, that a person, the slave of Allah, is tested, عَلَى حَسَبِ دِينِهِ, according to his deen. According to the level of his deen. فَإِنْ كَانَ بِدِينِهِ صَلْبًا اشْتَدَّ بَلَاؤُهُ, if he's strong in his being, if that sister's strong in her deen, her husband, وَلِيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ, is beating her down. He's beating her down every day. He doesn't take care of her. There's no food in the house. He doesn't buy her clothes. He's always abusing her. If she's strong in her deen and she stands fast and stands firm, اشْتَدَّ بَلَاؤُهَا, then her death is increased. Her test is increased. Her test becomes more severe. وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي دِينِهِ رِفَّةٌ أُبْتُلِيَ عَلَى حَسَبِ دِينِهِ, and if he's kind of weak in his deen, or he's not as strong as the average person, he's a mediocre person in his deen, she's kind of nominal in her deen, then she's going to be tested according to her deen, the level of her deen. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إن الله تعالى إذا أحب قوما ابتلاهم. That when Allah loves a people, He tests them. And the more He loves you, the more He tests you. To the person's deen. If they're strong in their deen, فَإِنْ كَانَ بِدِينِهِ صَلْبًا. صَلْب means something strong and solid, like a rock, like a cement wall. That's صَلْب. If they're strong in their deen, اشْتَدَّ بَلَاؤُهُ. His deen, if he's strong in his deen, because he's going to be tested because of his deen, on the level of his deen, then the test becomes even more intense. And if he has some rifqa, if he's kind of nominal, he's a little soft in his deen or her deen, then ابْتُلِيَ عَلَى حَسَبِ دِينِهِ. Then they're going to be tested according to that nominal amount of strength that they have in their deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions this. He says, أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they'll be left alone saying with their mouths that they believe and they won't be tested by Allah? That they won't be tested? Naam. This is it's probably Ankabut, chapter 29, I believe. Allahu A'lam. I think it's Surah 29. Yes, it's Surah 29. Ayah number 1. Excuse me, number 2. Alif Lam Mim is number 1. Number 2 is, do people think they'll be left alone because they say we believe and they won't be tested? And then the third ayah, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Because indeed Allah says, we tested those who were before them. And Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are truthful, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars. You say you believe, Allah is going to test you. So now you can't say when Allah afflicts you with some disease or takes away some of your property, oh, why Allah, why me? You can't say that. You're not going to be able to say that. The second type of fitna is the fitna that we're going to be discussing, inshallah. That's not the one that's from Allah. The second type of fitna is peculiar or particular to the deeds and sins and acts of disobedience. These are the things that you do, and you do, and you do, and you do, and I do. All the sins that we commit, the deeds of disobedience, acts of rebellion to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they come from us. They come from the slave himself. Like when the Muslims fight each other and kill each other. This is the fitna that we're going to be discussing this evening, inshallah. Anything that leads to weakening the Muslims, any fighting, any killing, any backbiting, any slander, turning a Muslim away from his deen, anything like this, this is the type of fitna we're going to be discussing, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, this type of fitna has no wisdom in it, nor does it have any good fruit that comes from it. No fruit, no good profit, nothing comes from this, no wisdom whatsoever, but rather the opposite comes from this. There's no wisdom, there's no profit from this, but rather the opposite comes from this type of fitna. Whoever goes into it seeking or requesting or wanting to probe into this type of fitna, his statements and his actions will destroy him, will annihilate him, will obliterate him. It will destroy him completely if he goes in to probing into those types of fitna that we're about to discuss right now, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من تشرف لها تستشرفه.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever exposes himself to these types of fitna, they will destroy him. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ فِيهَا مَلْجَأً أَوْ مَعَاذًا فَلْيَعِذْ بِهِ فَلْيَعُذْ بِهِ. And whoever finds a place of protection or refuge from that, those fitnas, then they should take shelter in it. And you can find this in the 9th volume of Al-Bukhari, the 9th volume of Al-Bukhari, page 157, hadith number 202, in chapter 9, 9th volume in the English translation of Al-Bukhari, the last volume, page 157, chapter 9, hadith number 202. Inshallah is there. So the scholars have made a distinction between the two types of fitna. The first type of fitna is called al-ibtila. Al-ibtila. This is the one that is from Allah. Al-ibtila. And the second type is called al-fitna. It's called al-fitna. And this is the one that's from the slave of Allah. The first one is called al-ibtila. That comes from Allah. That's a trial. The second one is called fitna, which is punishment. So you have a trial and you have a punishment. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ وَيَنْقُصُ الْعَمَلِ وَيُلْقَ الشُّحِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, time will pass rapidly, good deeds will decrease, and miserliness and stinginess will be thrown into the hearts of the people. وَتَظْهَرُ الْفِتَنُ وَيَكْثُرُ الْهَرَجِ. And afflictions will appear, and there will be much haraj. There will be much haraj. قالوا, they said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyuma huwa. They said, O Messenger of Allah, what is it? In other words, what is haraj? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-qatlu. It is severe riotous killing. Severe riotous killing. And this is also found in volume 9 in Al-Bukhari, page number 149, hadith number 183. Hadith number 183. Volume 9 in Al-Bukhari, page 149, hadith number 183. And Imam Shafi'i, he was asked, أَيُّهُمَا أَفْضَلُ لِلْرَّجُلِ الْمُبْتَلَى أَمِ الْمُمَكَّنِ. Which of the two are the most superior for man? Which is the best? That he be tried and tested, or he be firm and established? That he be tried and tested, or he be firmly established? فقال إمام الشافعي رحمه الله لا يمكن الرجل حتى يبتلى. He said, a man can't be firmly established until he's tried. A man can't be firmly established, he can't be really proven to be a real human being, a real man, a real woman, until they're tested by Allah. And this is the way we're created, brothers and sisters. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ما من عبد إلا وله ذنب. There's not one slave, believing slave of Allah, except that he has a sin. يعتادوه الفينة بعد الفينة. A sin that he commits once in a while. وذنب هو مقيم. وهو مقيم هو عليه مقيم لا يفارقه حتى يفارق الدنيا. And then there's others that commit sins all the time, and they're going to continue to commit the sins until they leave the dunya. إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ خُلِقَ مُفَتَّنًا تَوَّابًا نَسِيًّا إِذَا ذُكِرَ ذَكَرَ. Surely the slave of Allah, the believer of Allah, he or she is created, tried and tested, repentant and forgetful. So when they are given the admonition, they are reminded. So when they hear the admonition, they remember. The point is that we're created mufattanan. We're created, tested and tried. So Imam Shafi'i said, when he was asked, which one is more superior, for a man to be tested and tried, or the man to be firmly established? He said, La yumakkanu rajulu hatta yubtala. A man can't be firmly established and proven until he's tested by Allah and tried. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he mentioned that time will pass rapidly and good deeds will increase, and he said miserliness will be thrown into the hearts of the people, there'll be stinginess, people won't want to give anymore, they don't want to be generous, and afflictions will appear and there will be much haraj. It's very interesting, brothers and sisters, that the word that the Prophet used, al-haraj, the Sahaba didn't know what it was. And the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, were the top people in the Arabic language. They were the most superior people, and there's no one living today that's more superior than them in the Arabic language. And they didn't know what the word haraj meant. Why? It's because this type of killing is so severe, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam borrowed this word from another language. This word haraj is not even Arabic. This word is from another language. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's al-haraj, al-haraj. And he said, what is al-haraj? He said, al-qatl, al-qatl. Meaning, in the Arabic language, it's killing. Riotous, severe killing. And this is the way the fitna is today, brothers and sisters. The fitna is so bad, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that there are going to be people who are going to kill, and they're not going to know the reason why they killed. And that people are going to be killed, and they're not going to know the reason why they were killed. This is one of the signs. People are going to kill. Look at these guys out here, the Bloods, the Crips, the Folks, the Peoples, the TDQs, the Latin Kings. People walking around the street shooting people on subways. When they catch them, why did you kill them?
I don't know. I don't know why I killed them. He was just looking at me wrong. I just blew his head off.
And if that person were to be resurrected by Allah and ask, why did that person shoot you? Why did they stab you? Why did they push you up the subway platform into the oncoming train? I don't know. I was just standing there. I don't know. This is the way it is today. So this is something that's severe. And we need to know how to behave and how to comport ourselves when Allah tests us with this fitna of punishment. عن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم من جعل من حمل علينا السلاح فليس منا من حمل علينا السلاح فليس منا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and this is in light of and on, coming right after the hadith that he said is going to be killing. Whoever takes up arms against us is not from us. Whoever picks up a weapon, anytime a Muslim picks up a gun or a knife or an iron bar or a baseball bat, whoever picks up any weapons against us, then they're not from us. Meaning, they are acting like the kuffar. We're not saying they're kafirs. We're saying that they're acting like the kuffar. And this hadith you can find in the 9th volume of Al-Bukhari, hadith number 192, page 153, inshallah. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا ترجعون بعد كفارا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar, do not apostate, do not
return. Do not revert. لا ترجعوا بعد كفارا. Don't go back to disbelief بعد after me. After I'm dead and gone, don't return back to kufr. How does a Muslim go back to kufr? يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض. By cutting and striking the necks of one another. By cutting and striking the necks of one another. One of the clear signs that a Muslim is headed towards apostasy, like as though he's leaving Islam, is to fight and kill a Muslim. It's to fight and kill a Muslim. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, stay away from fighting each other. Stay away from fighting each other. So in this particular hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet is telling us to stay away from fighting each other, and anything that has similarities to that of fighting each other is the actions of the kuffar. And Islam has come to establish all types of brotherhood and love so that we won't have these problems of fighting and killing each other and picking up weapons against each other. We also have a hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ستكون فتن قاعد فيها خير من القائم والقائم فيها خير من الماشي والماشي فيها خير من الساعي من تشرف لها تستشرفه فمن وجد فيها ملجأ ومعاذا فليعذ به فليعذ به أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there's going to come fitnas. There's going to soon come fitnas. So the person who is sitting in the fitna is better than the one who's standing. And the one who's standing in the fitna is better than the one who's walking. And the one who's walking in the fitna is better than the one who's running. And whoever probes into, delves into, tries to get involved in the mix of the fitna, then they will be exposed to it and that fitna will become a part of them. So whoever finds a way out, finds a place of refuge and solace and protection, then let him hold on to it, grab it, and seek protection in that place. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another narration collected by Tirmidhi, he said, سَلَامَةُ الرَّجَلِ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ أَنْ يَلْزَمَ بَيْتَهُ. That the safety and the security and the protection of a man during times of fitna is to stay in his house. It's to stay in his house. You want to be safe? You want to be secure in times of fitna? إِلْزَمْ بَيْتَكَ. Stay in your house. So the person who is sitting is in the times of fitna is better than the person who's standing. And the person who's standing is better than the person who's walking. And the person who's walking is better than the person who's running. And whoever tries to go into it is going to eventually take him over. He's going to be exposed to it. So whoever finds a place of refuge and protection, then let him or her find it. In another hadith, and that one's in al-Bukhari, in the same section, in another hadith, we find even more clarification in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet said, النَّائِمُ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَقَظَانِ وَالْيَقَظَانِ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْقَائِمِ. That the sleeping person in the fitna is better than the person who's awake in the fitna. And the person who's awake in the fitna is better than the person who's standing in the fitna. These two narrations, when you put them together, brothers and sisters, doesn't mean, when you hear the word better, khair, it doesn't mean khair. It means sharr. It means evil. The word good here means evil. In other words, the person who is sitting in the fitna is the worst of all of them. He's the worst of all of them. The person who's sitting right smack dab in the mix of the fitna, they're the worst of all the people. Because they're sitting right in it. Why didn't they get up and get out of it? He shouldn't be in it. So he should try to get away from it. The person who's standing is better than the person who's walking. The person who's walking is better than the person who's running. The person who's running, if he probes into it, then it's going to eventually, he's going to be exposed to it. And the hadith in Muslim where it says the sleeping person in it is better than the waking person shows that even if the person is sleeping in the fitna, he has a problem. Even if he's sleeping in it. But he's better than all of those people. Because as soon as he wakes up, he's more involved in the fitna. And there's another hadith of Abu Bakr. This is not Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is Abu Bakr, not Abu Bakr. This is Abu Bakr. And we learned about him in the hadith class, purification of the soul class, Riyadh al-Salihin. We learned about this companion, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There's another increase on his narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِذَا نَزَلَتْ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ إِبْلٌ فَلْيَحِقَهُ بِإِبْلِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ غَنَمٌ فَلْيَلْحَقْ بِغَنَمِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ أَرْضٌ فَلْيَلْحَقْ بِأَرْضِهِ قَالَ رَجُلٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ قال يعمد على سيفه فيدق على حجر. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when the fitna comes, so whoever has, and he's in the fitna if it comes, whoever has his camel, then let him hold on to his camel, and whoever has a sheep, then let him hold on to his sheep. And whoever has a piece of land, then let him hold on to his, cling to his piece of land. So a man said, O Messenger of Allah, when if you see that the person doesn't have any of those things, then the Prophet said, يَعْمِدْ عَلَى سَيْبِهِ فَيَدُقُّ عَلَى حَجْرِهِ حَجَّهُ بِحَجْرٍ ثُمَّ الْيَنْجُ إِنْ اسْتَطَاعَ النَّجَاءَ. He said, then let him break his sword into a rock. Let him break his sword off into a rock and seek as much safety as he can for salvation. As much as he's able, stick to that rock, break his sword off. In other words, don't get into the fitna. If you enter the fitna, if you don't have any of those things, if you don't have any of those things to keep yourself occupied, like your goats, like your sheep, like your camels, if you don't have any of those things, nothing whatsoever, then don't take your sword and go out into the fitna of killing the Muslims and fighting the Muslims. Break your sword off on a stone so you won't have any weapons. That's what the Prophet is saying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Stay clear away from all of it. And you'll, inshallah, have some safety and security, inshallah. This is the way we deal in times of fitna. Imam Muslim, in his book, called the Book of Al-Imamah in Sahih Muslim. I believe it's in the third, or I think it's in the third volume in the English translation of Sahih Muslim. عن جندب بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قتل تحت راية عمية يدعو عصبية أو ينصر عصبية فقتله قتلة جاهلية أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قالوا هي الأمر الأعمى لا يستبين وجهه. إمام مسلم رحمه الله, in the book of Al-Imara, the book of government, on the authority of Jundub ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنه, he said, whoever is killed under the banner of Umiyyah, whoever is killed under the flag of Umiyyah, and he calls to, or invites, or propagates, and gives dawah to Asabiyyah,
أو ينصر عصبية فقتلة جاهلية. Whoever died, was killed under the banner of blind allegiance, or he calls to party pride and nationalism, or he aids and assists asabiyya, or he calls or assists to asabiyya. Because he's Pakistani, I'm going to protect him. Because he's Indian, I'm going to protect him. Because he's a black American, I'm going to protect him. Because she's an Arab, I'm going to protect him. Because he's Hanafi, I'm going to protect him. Because he's Maliki, I'm going to protect him. Because he's Shafi'i, I'm going to protect him. Because he's Ikhwani, I'm going to protect him. Because he's Tablighi, I'm going to protect him. Any of these things like this, whoever is killed but under the banner of any of those type of things, فَقِتْلَتُهُ قِتْلَةٌ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ, then their dying is the dying of the days of Jahiliyyah. It's the dying of the days of Jahiliyyah. What does this mean? This means when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever is killed, من قتل تحت راية عمية, who was ever killed under the flag of blind allegiance. What this means is that there are going to be people who are going to be involved in issues without any knowledge whatsoever. They're going to be fighting and killing or be killed for a purpose other than the true Islamic purpose. Other than the true Islamic purpose. And I want to stop right here to bring a principle, a rule, a qa'idatun muhimma, an important rule from the scholars of Ahl al-Sunnah. And that rule is, kullu qitalin lam yufti fihi Ahl al-Ilm fahuwa qitalun fitna. This is the principle, inshallah. كل قتال لم يفتي فيه أهل العلم فهو قتال الفتنة. This is very important, especially for the men. Especially for the men. Especially for the brothers who are close to reading material of or listening to tapes of those people who are always talking about fighting in jihad. This is the basic principle we need to know from Ad-Dawud al-Salafiyya. Every single type of fighting that the scholars of Islam of Ahl al-Sunnah did make a fatwa on, if they didn't make a fatwa on that fighting, in other words, they didn't make a ruling that fighting is permissible or not, if they, the scholars of Islam, didn't call it jihad, if they didn't make a fatwa about it, then it's called qital al-fitna. It's the fighting of fitna. It's not real jihad. Before you can call a jihad, you have to find out what Sheikh Al-Albani says, Sheikh Bin Baz says, Sheikh Uthaymeen says, Sheikh Muqbil, Sheikh Rabi'ah. You have to find out what the ulama, the reputable scholars of Ahl al-Sunnah today say. If they don't make a fatwa that that thing in Bosnia is jihad, or that thing in Afghanistan is jihad, or that thing in the Philippines is jihad, or that thing in Algeria is jihad, if they didn't make a fatwa about it, فَهُوَ قِتَالُ الْفِتْنَةِ. It's not jihad, it's the fighting of fitna. And the person who's in it, who's standing, is worse than the person who's sitting. And the person who's standing is better than the person who's walking. And the person who's walking is better than the person who's running. And the person who's sleeping is better than the person who's awake. Now, wa alaykum salam. The brother is asking the question, Bosnia and those places like that, where the kuffar are killing the Muslims and raping the Muslim women, the question, killing the children. I believe that he's asking, he says he needs clarification on that. The point again is, this is the clarification, If the ulama of Islam of today, of Ahl Sunnah, the reputable ulama, al-ulama, al-mujtahidun, al-rabbaniyun, if they say that that's jihad, then it's jihad. And if not, then it's not jihad.
What are they saying?
That's what we need to find out.
Okay.
We need to find out what they're saying.
Yeah.
But which means is that we don't start learning karate and ninjutsu and start taking classes on how to shoot and blow up stuff and go over there without the ulama making a fatwa about it. That's the point. Because it's the ulama who guide us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فضل العالم على العابد كفضلي على أدناكم أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said the superiority of the scholars over a regular worshiper is like my superiority over you, over the least of you. The superiority of the ulama over the worshiper is like my superiority over the common of you. And another narration, he said, the superiority of the scholars over the regular worshiper is like the superiority of the moon, a full moon, over the rest of the stars. This is the position of the ulama. We just can't go to the books or go to some imam or some da'iya or some student of Islam that graduated at some university in Umm al-Qura or Medina or Azhar and say, is it okay for me to go to jihad? And he says, okay, you can go. Well, where is it? No, it's over there. No, we have to go to the ulama. The ulama are the ones who tell us about these things. They're the ones who explain these things to us. Inshallah, we'll be ending it in a few minutes, inshallah. So, the person who will kill and won't know why he's being killed, and the person who will be killing and won't know why he's killing, this is the type of person that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about. It doesn't mean that the one who doesn't know or doesn't have any understanding what he's doing. When it says whoever is killed under the banner of blind allegiance, doesn't mean that he doesn't understand why he's out there. He just doesn't have the proper understanding of the purpose of why he's out there. Doesn't mean that he doesn't know why he's getting shot or why he's shooting. It means that he doesn't know why he's fighting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to explain to us through that hadith that whoever does this, they'll die the death of jahiliyyah. Maybe that person has some faulty fatwa or something like that. Participating in a battle that they have no knowledge of, and the ulama haven't given them a sanction to do it. And this is the meaning of umiyyah, fighting on other than what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, and not to raise the word of Allah in the land to make it supreme. And to answer your question, to give you another clarification, when the Muslims were fighting in Afghanistan against the communists, Sheikh Al-Albani hafidhahullah, may Allah give him long life in Islam and let him die in Iman and on the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked Hikmat Yar, when you take over Kabul, what are you going to do? Are you going to establish Islam or are you going to establish the Hanafi Madhab? He said, what's wrong with the Hanafi Madhab? As soon as he made that statement, Sheikh Al-Albani said, that right there is not jihad. As soon as he said that, what's wrong with the Hanafi Madhab? He said, that's not jihad. Because the answer should have been, we're going to take over Kabul and establish La ilaha illallah. Not a madhab. Okay. So, alhamdulillah, Islam came to do away with jahiliyyah and all the ways of jahiliyyah. All the ways of jahiliyyah. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala kullu amrin min umur al-jahiliyyati mawdu'un tahta qadamay hadha." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on his farewell pilgrimage, "Know for surety that all the affairs of jahiliyyah are under my feet here. All the affairs of jahiliyyah are under my feet."
This is what the Prophet said. In other words, we are not to be calling the calls of Jahiliyyah. African American Muslims, Pakistani Muslims, Indian Muslim Day, this Muslim Day, Muslim Day Parade. All this stuff is from Jahiliyyah. All this stuff is from Jahiliyyah. Mezhabism. You gotta follow a Mezhab. If you don't follow a Mezhab, you astray. All that stuff was put under the foot of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why I tell the brothers, I beg the brothers and the sisters, you have to read that book, Muslim Unity by Sheikh Ali Hassan. You have to read that book, Muslim Unity by Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Halabi. We sell it in the bookstore. You have to read that book, brothers and sisters. That book will explain to you, inshallah, the real meaning of jama'ah, the meaning of hizbiyah, party spirit and party pride, the real meaning of imam and amir and bay'ah, and what are the and how we involve ourselves in these things. And if we are involving ourselves in the umur al-jahiliyyah, the affairs of jahiliyyah. One of the sisters, she sent down a question, what should one do if they stay in their home to avoid the fitna, and they find that the fitna has followed them home? I would suggest that those people who find that the fitna has followed them home from the suggestion of the imam as he was walking away and he heard the question, he said, turn off the TV. Turn off the TV, and I've added to that, curb your conversations on the telephone. Stick to reading the Quran, reading Sahih al-Bukhari, and the books that have been translated on the Dawah to Salafiyyah, and those tapes that are revolving around as Dawah to Salafiyyah. And leave your house only for your necessities.
Don't watch the news.
This is what we suggest. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to us, أَبْغَدُ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثَلَاثًا. The most hated people to Allah are three. If you haven't been writing anything down, brothers and sisters, you should write this down. Why? It's because so you'll know if you're one of them. The most hated people to Allah are three. أَبْغَدُ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثَلَاثَةٌ. The most hated people to Allah are three. If you haven't written anything down, you better write this down so you can make sure you're not one of those three. And then try, if you are, to get out of being one of those three. مُلْحِدٌ فِي الْحَرَمِ. The person who causes blasphemy and does fawahisha and does evil things at the masjid and at the Kaaba and Masjid al-Haram. People who do lewd acts and shirky acts and bid'ah at the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. وَيَبْتَغِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَمُبْتَغِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. And a person who desires to introduce into Islam the sunnahs of al-jahiliyyah. The person who desires to be involved in the sunnahs of al-jahiliyyah. For instance, as we mentioned, calling people to following a madhab, and that you have to follow a madhab. This is from the sunnahs of jahiliyyah, because the issue of making it obligatory to follow a madhab is no different from the tribes in days of jahiliyyah. My tribe this, my tribe that. My tribe said this, my tribe said that. I'm not going to marry you unless you're from my tribe. If you don't belong to our masjid, you can't marry that sister. If you don't belong to this masjid, we can't perform your marriage. If you don't belong to that masjid, we won't give you assistance with divorce. If you don't belong to this masjid or this organization or this jama'iyah, this society, we won't give you any money to help you pay your electric bill. Hizbiyah. وَمُبْتَغِنْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. And the people who desire to drag into Islam the sunnahs
the ways of Jahiliyyah. That's one of the two of the three of the people who was most hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمُطَّلِبٌ أَوْ يَطَّلِبُ دَمَ امْرَئٍ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ لِيُهْرِيقَ دَمَهُ. And the third person is the person who seeks to draw the blood of a person without justification so they can spill their blood. The person who seeks a person to draw the blood, to spill the blood of that person so that blood can become prolific, can become profuse. To seek to draw the blood of a person, you have no right to fight and draw blood from them. This hadith is connected by Al-Bukhari, and it's also in the book of Fitna, in the 9th volume, and the actual page, I'm not absolutely sure of. So brothers, inshallah, and sisters, we're going to end it here, inshallah. This is just a small example of how we are to behave in times of fitna. How we are to behave in times of fitna. And the fitna will either come to us by those ways that we mentioned or any similar ways. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the fitna of our own hands. And also we ask Allah to make us patient with the trial and the test that Allah may give us to purify our sins. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam. If there are any questions, we'll take maybe 3 from the brothers and 3 from the sisters, because Maghrib will be coming in soon, and we'll be preparing for the Aqidah and Manhaj of the Salaf class, inshallah, as we already know. 3 from the sisters and 3 from the brothers. Now, first from the brothers. The question is, what do we call jihad? Jihad is fighting in the way of Allah. To establish the Islamic kalima, la ilaha illallah. This is jihad. This is the real jihad. Fighting to protect your property, to protect your land, to protect yourselves, your blood, your family, is a form of jihad. It's called difa', defense. But jihad is not that you're being attacked by the kuffar. You're going to that land to establish Islam. You're going intentionally to them to take it to them. When the Amir of Islam tells us to do it, that's when we do it. Or the ulama. Now, I'm not understanding completely what you're saying. The brother's asking us the question, what is our obligation to the Muslim who is not practicing E.g., for example, yarhamakumullah, for example, they drink, they smoke, they use yarhamakumullah, they use intoxicants, they don't pray, they chase women, they date, whatever. And why shouldn't use the word date? I should use the word making zina, because date sounds too good. It's actually zina. Shouldn't say they had an affair. We should say it's zina, because affair and dating sounds real nice. It's not as strong as zina. All right. What should we do? We should do simply what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Give them advice. Advise them. That's it. I don't understand. If somebody wants to do harm to the person who's smoking or drinking, it's not permissible to do harm to them. So the person who wants to do harm to them? You should advise the person who wants to do harm to that person, admonish them, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, tell them that it's not permissible for them to do that.
This is another Muslim
admonish the person who wants to give him harm, and you advise the person that they should come back to Islam, to the practice of Islam in its entirety, and beware of the person who wants to give him harm. Is that what you're saying? It's not a Muslim? And you stop it. This is something that we need to look into. We can't answer this question, inshallah. The next question from the sisters is, how does one know if the fitna is from Allah, al-ibtila, or a fitna from us? Jazakumullahu khairan, ameen wa iyyakum. Then the next note says, the fitna that is from Allah, is it to strengthen you? I was that clear. Oh, I guess you... It wasn't clear on what you said. Please stop the children from talking down the tube, please, because it disturbs us and is going on to the recording. Thank you very much. We definitely know that our children sometimes are fitna. This is a good question. How does one know if the fitna is from Allah or from ourselves? It's very, very simple. This question is very, very simple to answer. You know what you did. If you know what you did, you know it's a punishment. And if you know you haven't done anything, it's a trial. It's just that simple. If something is happening to you, then you know. If you know that if you've been lying or backbiting, stealing, getting high, talking to men you shouldn't be talking to, talking to women you shouldn't be talking to, whatever, any act of disobedience, if something like this happens to you, know for sure that's from your own hands. And if it hasn't, you've been good, you've been fasting regularly, standing up at night in tahajjud regularly, reading the Quran, doing acts of benevolence, visiting the sick, doing all those things, establishing the salah, paying charity, helping in the masjid to establish the masjid, all those things that are good, you know that something happens to you, it's a trial from Allah. Just that simple. And Allahu A'lam. We have one more from the brothers, and that's it. The question is, if we have a situation like the situation of about 20 years ago between one masjid in New York and another in Brooklyn, where there were people who were paralyzed for life and people who were killed, two masjids fighting each other, shooting at each other, what should the neutral, quote unquote, the neutral masjid do or organization do? And we would say that the answer to that is found in Surah Al-Hujurat. It's in Surah Al-Hujurat, which is chapter 49, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا فَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّذِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَقْصِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْصِطِينَ. And if two parties or groups among the believers fall into fighting, then make peace between them, but if one of them rebels against the other, then fight you all against the one that is rebelling until that group or party complies with the command of Allah. Then if it complies, then make reconciliation between them justly and be equitable. Surely, most definitely, verily Allah loves those who are muqsitin, those who are equitable, those who are just, those who are fair. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This, the ayah number is number chapter 49, verse 9. The question is, what's going to happen now? This is the ideal, but what's going to happen when we're dealing with hot-headed people who sometimes, because of their upbringing, their environment, the way they came up, and not being born into Muslims, which really doesn't make that much of a difference nowadays, what do we do? The best thing to do is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said, break off your sword in a rock, and if you're able to seek the safety and security there, وَالسَّلَامَةُ الرَّجُلِ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ أَنْ يَلْزَمَ بَيْتَهُ. And the safety and security of a person during times of fitna is to stay in his house, meaning to stay away from the fitna. And this was the position of Talha. This was the position of Talha radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, who when the Muslims broke out in fighting, he stayed in his house. He stayed neutral. He didn't get involved. And Allahu a'lam, Allah knows best. I think that's it. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam.